As promised, I now have Pastor Bert Pretorius on the line with me today, not speaking in his capacity as the founder and senior pastor of 3C, a church, but also in connection with the Mahlaseri Foundation, a nonprofit company that has been doing great work in terms of providing independent observers for the elections. Pastor Bert, good day and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Good day. Thank you so much, Jenny. Thank you for having me, and hi to all our listeners. It's a privilege for me to be with you.
Pastor, you've been doing incredible work in as far as the elections are concerned. We'll get to that in a bit. But first, please tell me about the Mahlaseri Foundation. When was it started, and what's the scope of its work?
Yes, the Mahlaseri Foundation was started, sure, approximately about 20 years ago, 25 years ago already. And it all started within the, seeing the needs of the community, and then us starting to address the needs. And it actually started with a feeding project, believe it or not. So, and it started in our kitchen with me making porridge when I saw there were young kids that needed feeding, and
Wow.
from there it just grew and just grew. And as you know, over all these years now, especially during the COVID era, we distributed, close to 250 million rands worth of food right throughout our whole nation, and we do disaster relief, and that's one of the elements that we do. Everything is for community, so everything is community based. And then out of that, because we do this and we respond to disasters, we respond to, we're very in the educational sector. We're involved in the schools. In actual fact, just this morning, we had a meeting with 25 principals here in Gauteng because of the suicides we're having in the schools. And last week we had four suicides in one school. And so we've been dealing with that, and we're now working hand in hand to bring about programs and educational programs, of course, spiritual based, to be able to help the principals and the schools to deal with these kind of things. So we're in the educational framework. Of course, our biggest thing is disaster relief. So when there's disasters like George, we respond to that. With the floods in KwaZulu-Natal, we put in, at 40, 50 million rands worth of disaster relief in there. So different places, that's what we do. And then we're also in gender-based violence. We've got a memorandum of understanding with the South African police. So we're involved in all the indabas that they have throughout the whole nation. And the reason we can do that is the fact that we have harnessed the faith-based a community to stand together and to love the nation and to love the community. And out of that, we started a thing called SACOF, a South African Community of Faith-Based Fraternals, and that is an organization of faith-based religious organizations across the spectrum, from the charismatic Pentecostal to the mainline churches, and where we have over 200 and no, over 260 fraternals and federations, which relates to about just over 18,000 churches. And that's about constituents in South Africa. That's about 5 million constituents, altogether. So that gives us quite a place to be able to negotiate and to work with government and to challenge things and challenge laws and things like that. So out of that then came, okay, well, it's voting. We have an obligation. And we have a responsibility. So why not, with the tremendous infrastructure that we have, because we got incredible infrastructure, for example, with the food distribution that we've done over 500,000, homes that we've distributed to. And of course, that's all software driven. So, we geotag every parcel, we know exactly where it is. So with that, so what we're doing, why can't we take the same software and the same, infrastructure that we have, and then the same, of course, the people, the church, the leaders, pastors throughout the whole nation, and let's see if we can help, in the voting process. And that's where we approached the IEC, and we approached the chairman of the IEC and had meetings with them. And yes, well, in actual fact, we became one of the largest electoral observer organizations, and yeah, well, that's how it started in a nutshell.
It is incredible the work that you do. And before I get to the coalition partners, the other faith-based organizations that were with you in terms of observing, I'd like to pick your brain about why it's so important that the church is involved in the elections in this capacity. Why is it important that we are observers when it comes to the elections?
I think the issue has to do with understanding. Like I shared a couple nights ago to the pastors and the leaders, it's the Bible does say that we need to be sober. We need to be sober minded, and we need to be vigilant. Vigilant, which means we need to be aware. We need to be aware that the devil is like a roaring lion and he's looking for a gap. And it's so important to understand that it's just within a fraction of a moment that things can go wrong. And we saw that in KwaZulu-Natal, how within days, billions and billions of rands of infrastructure was destroyed, and over 350 people lost their lives. Now think about that. 350 people died because of unrest, and it was in a moment that this took place. And it takes us back to 94. And when I think of 94, how we prayed and how we interceded there, and how the church was rallied. And 94 was a supernatural work of God, which took place. But I believe the church, we became a little bit complacent in the last few years. We haven't understood how important it is. We haven't been involved. In 94, we were involved. We were involved in the negotiation process. We were involved in everything. But I think what happened is we took a step back, and but once again, we need to be sober-minded, and we need to be aware that within a moment things can go wrong, and it's got to do with the acceptance of the elections. If our elections are not accepted, and people get unhappy, it doesn't take much to spark violence. And then what we have destruction of infrastructure, and we have the destruction, we have the loss of life taking place. So it's absolutely critical to have the church involved, and the church is the moral compass of the nation. There's no the church. The church. We, you know, that, and by that, I don't. We fallible, of course. We make mistakes, but the word of God is the foundation. The word of God is the absolute. And yes, even though I, me and other, we might step out of line, but the word of God is true. And that's why the moral compass, to a nation is the word. And then obviously people hear the word and see the word in operation through each and every one of us.
Absolutely. Pastor, you had nearly 2,000 independent observers stationed across the country during the elections. Talk to me about who some of those role players were. I know that the IFCC, SACOF, of course, the Rhema family churches were also involved, Pastor.
Yes. Well, SACOF, and that we spoke about, and then of course the IFCC, and that comprises of the Rhema family churches, our president, Pastor Ray McCauley. Then also Grace Bible Church, Bishop Moses Sono. We've got Pastor Don Phillips, of RUCC in Mthatha and the Eastern Cape. We've got the CRC churches, Pastor Ad Bosov, and the CRC churches involved. Of course, the Full Gospel Church of God, the Apostolic Faith Mission. So there's there are so many role players from so many different churches. And what was amazing is to see how nobody was pushing their own individual. I was so the when I started making the phone calls, one thing that really touched my heart is that nobody wanted to push the agenda, because I'm sensitive to that. So when I speak to them, I say, well, you know what? We're doing it under Mukhlis. They just said, So they said, Pastor, we don't care what you're doing, it what you do, we need to do this. You understand? None. It was amazing to see the unity of the churches, you know, standing together, and churches broad, you know, really. And even we had the Dutch Reformed churches as well, you know, so amazing to see the churches standing together, working together.
Pastor Bird, what were some of the key issues that your observers encountered or picked up? And also talk to us about your very sophisticated system in terms of how you monitored it.
Yes, thank you, generally. I think some of the issues that we had, you know, well, let's first talk about the system. You know, we had a electronic platform that we had is, you know, we were able to geotag every observer, where they're at, where they're going to. We had some of our observers stationed permanently at some stations, and then we had roaming observers. And 23,000 stations, but just to explain that, sometimes within a school you can have five stations in one school. You know, they had different classrooms, and each classroom would be a station. So when we say 25, 23,000 stations, sometimes you can have in a small area, you can have like 50 stations within a smaller area in the metros. So yes, with that, we had an electronic platform, and everything was software based. So every hour there was an update on what took place. And then we had you know, special, you know, if there's emergencies, we were able to log that, and they're able to log the videos or the pictures or audio, because what's important is that we've, you know, that we have facts, and that we don't have fake news, because you know how dangerous fake news is. You know, when it's a rumor, fake news, and people can lose their lives because of fake news. So we have to rectify, and because we're dealing with problems and it can be overemphasized, you know, we had to make sure that we know exactly what's going on, do interviews, a phone, get pictures, get videos of what's taking place. And this can all be loaded up onto the electronic platform, and then we take that. We had about just over 900 issues loaded. So yes, we got thousands and thousands and thousands of data, you know, blocks coming through. But of that, we had 900. Now, 900 sounds a lot, but you must think, in 23,000 stations with that, you know, 20, 25 or 26 million people voting, that's not too hectic, you know. But I mean, it is 900 hectic issues that we had to look at. But it wasn't, you know, it's not that I feel that it will affect the election, you know, or, you know, so in that sense. So coming to the findings, I think one of the biggest issues, of course, was the amount of time that it took. You know, so delayed openings, for example. Many stations were open late, and there were delays also because of, you know, late, not having ballot boxes in some places, not having ballots, insufficient number of officials, confusion over a queue management. And later in the day, that was rectified because they changed the way of doing it. And so that was the issues. We even timed in stations that sometimes it could take to 3 or 4 minutes for somebody getting through, you know. And if one person had an issue, you know, with one station, you had one a tablet, and you had one manual with all the names in. So if that didn't, if one person got stuck, that means everybody waited. And if you took 10 minutes with one person, it means the whole thing, you know, stood still. So obviously, these are things that are not, you know, that could only get rectified next time. But you know, and it's not the end of the world because people did vote, you know. But you know, of course, that absolute, you know, hours. I think some people stood like 8 hours, you know, in a line. Of course, that was, I think that was one of the biggest issues that we found.
And then lastly, on the observing part of it, Pastor, what advice would you have and will you be sharing with the IEC in terms as far as how they can better the system, as you just said, moving forward? How does that engagement look like between yourself and the IEC going forward?
Yes. Well, I definitely think they were understaffed, for sure. And definitely it's got to do with training as far as their staff are concerned. So, and then also the ability, you know, to solve problems and solve issues. One thing I can say, there was a there was a willingness, and I think that's what's kept this election awesome, is that there was a heart, there's a willingness. Most of the presiding officers that I dealt with, that I spoke to, and I went to many stations, the presiding officers were working. I mean, and they were working long hours, but you know what? There was an energy, there was a willingness, but still there was inadequacies, as far as being able to make sufficient decisions about crucial things, and look, and as observers, it's very difficult for us because we're not allowed to get involved. Remember, we're not allowed to fix the process. So you can see there, you see the issues, and you've got to stand there and not fix it. So we can report, and but we do have, basically there, we're checking up on the IEC to make sure that the stuff is fair and the stuff is happening. But coming to the report, definitely that's insufficient staff, insufficient managing, and then of course the system, the system that they had as far as voter stations only having one tablet for each system, that's insufficient. There's got to be at least, two systems, one where you can deal with issues and the other one. And when the one is not dealing with issues, it can help the line, but there can't be, there's got to be at least two, there's got to be at least two systems in one station. So definitely, I think, I don't know if that's got to do with finances or whatever, but definitely, that has to be rectified.
Absolutely. I think when you follow the news, you might know that they've lost some significant funding that was rechanneled to some of the parties. So that's definitely a conversation I think the
Yes.
IEC themselves will also be having
Yes.
post-elections. Pastor, do you agree with me that in terms of the church observing the elections in South Africa, what you've managed to achieve with Mahlasedi Foundation and all your partners, more than 1,000, close to 2,000 pastors and faith-based organizations across the country, that this was a game changer for the church and its involvement in observing?
Yes, I definitely a game changer, because I think what the community, South African community, has seen is what can be done when the church works together, and then the heart, the energy. We're not doing this, no one got paid, so all of us, we did this out of the goodness of our hearts and because we love the nation. So there's no money involved, and our people worked through the night. Some of them did an hour, 24-hour shift. So when there's a passion for something and there's a willingness and there's an enthusiasm because you want things done right, and that's what I think, that's what came through in this whole election. And definitely it's a game changer, and I think the IEC hasn't seen observation. This is a whole new level. This is a whole new level to them. It's a, at, we've surprised them, we've surprised everybody in actual fact, at the enthusiasm of what we've done, we have done. And then obviously, coming back afterwards, where we'll sit with them and bring all the issues that can be sorted out. And remember, generally we do this every Sunday. So we work with thousands and thousands of people, different churches all over. So it's something we know how to do, and it's something, we can help with. And at the same time, we don't want anything out of it. We don't want, I'm, this is not a business. As a church, it's not a business. We don't want anything from anybody. All we want is that it does, that it's fair, that it's right, and that that it's done in peace and harmony, so that we can, work together. So as the church, definitely, there's a new respect for the church, because we didn't want anything. We didn't want money from government. We didn't take a cent from the IEC. We did everything out of the church. So it means we gave of our resources, we gave of our time. So definitely, it's a game changer in that sense. And then also, I think in the IEC, it's a game changer. They have seen what the church can do as well.
Now, Pastor, I want to thank you so much for your time. I know you haven't slept much, if at all, in the past 2 days. So I appreciate the time you're spending with us here on Pulpit and K Pulpit today. But I do want to ask you, what's your message to the Bazalwani today, who they were praying for a certain outcome? They maybe even voted for a certain outcome, but the outcome of the elections is not necessarily what they were expecting as we are watching those numbers being finalized at the National Results Operations Center, and it's being broadcasted across the country and across the world. What do you say to that person who might be feeling disappointed that the way they prayed and the way they voted is not what they're seeing playing out in front of their eyes?
At the end of the day, God is in control. And I think that my message, and I've really, the Lord has really been speaking to me about it, and I'm already, working on, on that, I'm working really on post-election prophecy, if I can say it that way. Is that I do believe it's the time for the church, and that the church is the answer. There isn't, maybe you wanted a certain political party, but there's no political, not one of the political parties is the answer for South Africa. It's the church. It's the church, and we have to evangelize through in the political parties, that we have missionaries in every party. So it doesn't matter what party there is, there are born again children of God, sold out to Jesus, and they're in the parties influencing and touching the decision makers and the people there, and they themselves also being decision makers. So at the end of the day, even though your party did not get in, there is no party or president of any party that is the savior. There's only one savior, and that's Jesus Christ, and he is our savior. And his grace is sufficient for us. But I believe that out of this, I think the voice of the church has triumphed. And I think from here, the unity that we have, we need to take that forward. And here's the bottom line. We need to win people to Jesus. We need to touch people's lives. We need to sow the love of Christ. And we need to make disciples. And we need to transform the culture of our nation from the bottom up. It's not, transformation doesn't come from the top. Transformation comes from the bottom. So it's where each and every one of us, where we take responsibility just for your space. You don't have to be the evangelist for the decade. All you have to do is just in your space, in your workspace, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your university, wherever you are, take responsibility in prayer, start touching those people, and as we all reach out and touch the nation, South Africa will never be the same again. And that's why also to the politicians, that is my message to them as well. It's time to take hands. This partisan politics, when the elections are over, it's over. Now you've got to work together. It's finished, it's done. Now we need to work together for the betterment of our nation, for the common good of our nation, and make sure that righteousness and justice and prevails within our nation.
Amen and amen. Pastor Bird Pretorius, thank you so much for your time, your leadership together with Pastor Charnay, and the incredible sacrifices that you continue to make, not just for the body of Christ, but for this nation, South Africa. We really do appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.